There is absolutely no shortage of vulgar corruption and immorality in the world today all around us. The way that it has become acceptable for people to talk, for the way that people dress, the way that people act, it surely reminds us of the day of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said in chapter 8 and verse 12, as he described the people of Judah, he said, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush." I feel sure that some of the same kind of problem is exhibited all around us today, and surely it would be true that a lot of people have absolutely forgotten how. They've lost the ability to blush. That's not all that unusual when we consider the permissive attitudes that prevail all around us. We could heap up an enormous pile of characteristics, things that describe modern society today. It would range from a lack of respect for any kind of authority to a lack of desire to learn appropriateness, a lack of any kind of interest in the good of others around. We could go on and on talking about some of the things that we find so prevalently displayed in the society around us. On the other side of the coin, so to speak, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, John says this. He says, "Now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." All of those who are engaged in the vulgar wickedness of the world today have no concern for the fact that one day the Lord is going to come and judgment will follow. We do, as John says, need to be sure that we live so that when he comes, we won't need to shrink away from him in shame. And in the spirit of that same passage, the song that we often sing expresses a very important point. "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause, maintain the honors of his word, the glory of his cross. Jesus, my God, I know his name. His name is all my trust. Nor will he put my soul to shame, nor let my hope be lost. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the New Jerusalem appoint for me a place." This evening, I'd like for us to take a very quick look at a very simple text, a passage of Scripture that I suppose may be as familiar to us as anyone that we could pick out of the New Testament. It's Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And as well known and as frequently as we use this passage, it may be that someone has in their mind, "Well, you know, I don't see how you could tell me anything about this verse that I don't know." I'm not here to tell us of things that we don't know. I'm here to remind us of the things that we do know and to remind us of the importance of keeping those things fresh in our minds. In that verse, as you know, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, before we break that text down and look at its various parts, I want to challenge us with a very simple question. Are we ashamed of the gospel? With every vile thing coming out of the closet, so to speak, all around us, I think that it is past time for God's people to come out from under whatever rock many have been hiding under and take a stand, maybe on that rock, and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of, there are so many people who seem to want to be Christians in secret. And that's not going to work. In our lesson text, Paul makes his position abundantly clear. He's not ashamed. Oh, but someone says it would be easier in his day. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I thought maybe there might be some better way to say that, some easier way to break that to someone who holds that position, but I think a good, bold, frontal approach is probably the best way to get the message across. You have no idea what you're talking about if you say it was easier in Paul's day to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was far more difficult to publicly stand up for the gospel in his day than in ours. Think about it. Today, we decorate with the cross. We wear the cross as jewelry. We put the cross on our church buildings. We put it on our church stationery. We fill our cemeteries with grave markers that have crosses engraved on them without any kind of shame, without any kind of hesitancy at all. Our roadside markers are fashioned many times like crosses. But in Paul's day, the Roman cross was the most horribly effective method of capital punishment ever devised by man. It stood as a representation for the lowest of crimes and for the most painful of deaths. Can you imagine someone making a little image of an electric chair and wearing it as a piece of jewelry around their neck, or maybe as a charm on a bracelet full of symbols and images of things that are important to you? Well, you say, that's ridiculous. In polite Roman society, the cross was never mentioned. It was so ghastly. It was so gruesome. And Jesus had died on a cross. Additionally, Jesus was a Jew. And to the Roman Empire, the Jews were little more than slaves at the very best. In Paul's day, someone might well say, why would I put my faith in some poor Jewish carpenter who was put to death by crucifixion? It certainly wasn't easy in Paul's day to take a stand for Jesus. We need to stand up and clearly say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And here are three reasons why we should say that. Number one, We are not ashamed of the gospel because of whose gospel it is. It is the gospel of Christ. It is the story of Jesus. It is the wonderful story of love. It is the story about the one in whom we have believed. It is the story of the Messiah. It is the story of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Jesus Christ, God the Son. That is the gospel, and we should not be ashamed of it. None in all of history has ever attracted such a combination of attention, devotion, criticism, adoration, and at the same time, opposition as Jesus Christ. 20 centuries after his death and resurrection, there is not a moment of time, whether it is right now or any other moment of time, when there are not thousands, yea, even millions of people reading and studying what he said. I want you to think about that. At any given moment in time, there are thousands, perhaps millions of people in this world who are reading, studying, talking about, discussing what he said. At this very moment, there are millions of people in this world who claim to be trying to live by his words. Now, that's not to say that every one of them who make the claim is actually accomplishing that. But it is a tribute to Jesus Christ to say that right now there are millions of people who claim to be his followers. He never wrote a book. Yet more books have been written about him than any other one who ever lived. He never painted a picture. He never composed any poetry. He did not ever write any music. But more art, more poetry, and more songs have been composed about Jesus Christ than about any other living or dead. It is because of Jesus that you and I are not at this moment mired down in the trash pile of sin and wretchedness. Because of Jesus. It is in spite of Jesus that many people we know of are living in sin and wretchedness. And it is the gospel of this Jesus that we're talking about, of which we cannot afford to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of whose gospel it is. In the second place, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of what it does. Paul said it is the power of God unto salvation. Whatever power is needed to convert sinful people, whatever is needed beyond man's own abilities, all of that power is available through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no need for any kind of special illumination of the heart. There is no need for any kind of special interference by the Holy Spirit. There is no need for any kind of special act of God to strike a sinner down and convert him. It's all there in the gospel. The gospel is sufficient for all of that. It contains the illumination that is necessary for the heart. It provides the clear insistence that sin's hold on one's life must be interrupted. The gospel contains that clear insistence. The gospel itself is the very blueprint from God's own drawing board for converting a sinner. It is the power of God for salvation. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and the gospel is the revelation of the shedding of Jesus' precious blood. As Paul said in the first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." We must never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of what it does. And in the third place, we must never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of how it works. Because of how it works. The gospel of Christ is the simple link that connects the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Let me say that again. The gospel of Christ is the simple link that connects the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's very important for us to understand that Paul is not teaching a doctrine of salvation by faith only here. Rather, the term believes is a figure of speech which is officially called a synecdoche. A synecdoche is a figure of speech where a thing from a group of things is used to stand for and represent the entire group. Somebody says, "You know, that sounds like a bunch of preacher talk to me." How do you know that's true? It is a well-studied and established fact regarding what figures of speech are. In addition to that, and totally without any need to go into that, all we have to do is to look at the scriptures themselves. If Paul were saying that all one has to do is to believe in order to be saved, then what he's saying there would differ from what Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If Paul is teaching in Romans 1:16 that all you have to do in order to have the power of God unto salvation working for you, if all you have to do is to believe, then he's defying what Peter had said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where he told those people to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If Paul were saying that all one has to do in order to be saved is to believe, he would be making his own words that he would write, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, just a few chapters later in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And would be in defiance of the idea or the concept of rising to walk in newness of life after being baptized. Furthermore, if Paul were teaching that Salvation comes only, comes by believing only. He would be making 1 Peter 3:21 ridiculous. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. And so, the believe of Romans 1:16 is a term that stands for the entire process which begins with believing the gospel. And the belief is so strong that it motivates one to want to do something about what he has heard and learned and now believes. And therefore, he concludes to turn away from sinfulness and embrace the teachings of the gospel, accepting Jesus as his Lord and Master and being buried with him in baptism so that his sins can be washed away. The gospel of Christ is the simple link that connects the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We see the gospel working in the case of the Jews on Pentecost in Acts 2, when in verse 37 it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' They were then told, as a response to that very direct question, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" We see it working in the case of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, where in verse 30, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was told, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. That's how the gospel works. The gospel links the power of God to salvation to those who manifest true faith by obeying the gospel's terms. That is precisely why we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because of whose gospel it is. Because of what it does. Because of how it works. What a great refresher on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps one of the topics that we would consider to be that which we might even say that we've moved on away from it, on to more complicated things. And that would be unfortunate, because those things that are so simple need to be revisited. We need to be reminded of just how simply true and important they are. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, there never will be a better time than right now to do that. If you have obeyed the gospel but have become unfaithful in your service to God, more than anything in this world, you need to come back and be restored. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.